open your Bibles to the first chapter of Ephesians. Mark your spot. If you'd like, you can stop at Romans 9 and mark that too. Put a little envelope or something in there so you can, because we're going to go back and forth between these two books. The God of Scriptures is a God of purpose. Now that simply means that nothing is done by chance. There's no such thing as luck. Things don't just happen. All things have a purpose. And all things are under the sovereign control of Him who works everything according to His own counsel. Are you with me in Ephesians? Look at verse 11 of chapter 1. In whom, speaking of Christ as it is mentioned in verse 10, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Yeah. This will be our subject for today's message, the purpose of Him. In the world today, as it has been for years past, men believe that they rule their own destiny. If you will only take charge of your position, if you will only stop doing this or doing that. In many of the churches today, people quit drinking and they think, oh, I'm saved, I quit drinking. That's not necessarily true. Not if it was you who quit drinking. If you'll only take charge of your life, if you can only be whatever you wish, accomplish whatever your heart's desires, become the greatness that is in you. Have you ever heard that phrase? Become the greatness that is in you? And most certainly, these statements can be a real encouragement. We don't want to preach that you sit back and do nothing. Do all that God has given you the ability to do and do it for the glory of God. Most certainly, these statements can be an encouragement to reach for more than just mediocre status. Reach for the stars, as they might say. It is true, to be great, you must reach for it. Rarely does greatness fall in one's lap. But this greatness that we speak of is only a greatness of this world, a greatness of the flesh. And what is the destiny of flesh? Well, if you read 1 Peter 1:24, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. You see, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Isn't that what happens? Everything gets real green. Flowers pop up. Well, I love it when the California poppies come up. That's just one of God's beautiful creations right there. But eventually, those poppies will dry up and die, just like everything else, huh? Well, that's the glory of man. That's the greatness of men. Surely, there are those, very few, we might consider great in whatever it is they've done. Some say George Washington was a great man. And maybe he was. It would seem, being one of the leaders of this country in the beginning, he was a pretty great man. And his name goes on, doesn't it? But what we really know about him hasn't traveled very far at all, has it? We know what he did as a leader, but as a person, we really don't know. So all of whatever he was has really kind of faded away and dropped off, just like the flower, hasn't it? What is the destiny of flesh but to turn to dust, to return to what it was made of? From dust you have come, from dust you shall return. Mark your place right here for a moment, if you would, and turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Flesh will burn up in the brightness of His glory, it says in Scripture. He will come as a flaming fire, taking vengeance on the wicked. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have earned eternal damnation. All deserve the wrath of God. Yet He who rules all things has purposed. to save a people unto himself. Before a star ever twinkled in the sky, God the Father gave God the Son a people chosen to be vessels of honor, vessels of mercy, not for what they would do, but what for the Son of the living God would do. God chose a people unto himself. Are you with me in Romans 9? Look at verse 11, if you would. We'll start there. For the children being not yet born, that means these two young kids weren't even born yet, neither having done any good or evil, before they could ever even have done anything, they hadn't even been formed in the womb yet, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. You cannot deny election in Scripture. That is undeniable truth right there. And it just blows my mind that people will read that and still think that they have a will that they need to walk down the aisle and exercise in order to be saved. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. How dare you? Our Lord is perfect in every way. In everything that he does, he has purposed this very thing, that two children, before they were even born, that he would love one and hate the other, just as he has purposed to love each and every one of his people before the world began. That's why the scripture refers to him as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. How could God call his son the lamb slain before the foundation of the world if he hadn't already purposed for him to come and die for a people? It was purposed before the world was ever made. His love for each and every one of his children throughout time was purposed, and that means through time, they will be called according to his purpose at the exact perfect time that he wanted them to be called. I was 40 years old when the Lord first opened my ears to hear the gospel preached. If you'd have seen me before then, you'd probably look at me now and still wonder, you know, is that guy saved? But if you'd have seen me then, you'd have really known. Lord knows exactly the perfect time when to call his people, when to make known the riches of his glory. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, God's purpose. Don't let us miss this, folks. The sons of Esau are purposed. Egypt was purposed. God raised them up so that he could destroy them and show the world that this is my people and I have delivered them from their sins perfectly. I cannot fail, the Lord says. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you to say, why would God make me thus? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if, What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Do you catch that? Fitted to destruction. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom we have called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Afore prepared. Verse 23 tells us what the purpose of him is. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. We cry out, thank you, O Lord. Praise the Lord for showing your mercy to me. For being merciful to me. Because we know that we don't deserve any of it. We have seen what our flesh is to God. God has revealed the fact that we are nothing but sin from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes. We are as Job was, covered with boils, the nastiness of sin. So much so that a perfect God cannot even look upon us. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. He purposed to make known the riches of his glory. Now, we'll come back to Romans here in a moment. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would, please. As we read in verse 21 of Romans 9, the potter forms the vessel as it pleases him. Those that he has purposed to be merciful to, and those who he has purposed to harden, he also hardens. He even gives warnings to be watchful of some. Some who were predestined to come into the church, to come into his people, and turn his word into evil, lasciviousness. In Jude 1:4, you don't need to turn there, but it says, For there are certain men who crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained. That's the same thing. Purposed, planned, ordained to that condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what free will does. That's what saying God loves everybody. He's just waiting for you. That's what that is. It's turning the blood of God into lasciviousness. It's saying it's not worth anything. I was mentioning that in the Bible study this morning. The sons of Esau are purposed to serve the sons of Jacob. I know I use that a lot, Mike. It's your fault. It's good stuff. The God of purpose determined before the world was to save his sheep, to call them from the darkness that they were born into, to lift them from the miry clay that bound them to the flesh, freeing them from the debt of sin. His purpose is eternal. Look over at verse 11 of chapter 3. It's just a couple pages to the right. Chapter 3, verse 11. What does it say? According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It was an eternal purpose. It's a purpose that's been there from before anything was made, and it'll be there for as long as anything is, eternally. God has had one purpose that whole time, and that is to save a people unto himself, those of us who he has loved with an eternal love. We who have been called with an effectual calling, a calling with the power of God, sure to accomplish that its purpose. We have an inheritance laid up in heaven because of our Savior and what he has done. He humbled himself and became flesh, not of the seed of the man, but of the seed of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell upon Mary and she bare a child, it says. She bare a child. God, the Creator, perfect as He is, walked amongst us. His creation is a man, 100% man and 100% God. And this was all purposed before time began. God the Father purposed to send His Son, His only begotten Son, to be a propitiation, or in other words, an atonement, a payment for those for whom the Father had given Him. And His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people. All that the Father giveth Me, He says, shall come to Me. And He purposed His Son to die on the cross, being made a curse for us, that there would be no condemnation to those who are in Him. He paid the price in full. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1 in Ephesians. According as He hath chosen us in Him, speaking of chosen us in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. We should be holy and without blame right now because of what Christ has done on the cross, not because of what we have done, not because of any good works that we might do, but because of what Christ has done. His blood was shed effectually, and the purpose of it being shed was accomplished. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. It is done. It is finished. That blesses me, a sinner, beyond anything I can tell you in words. I know what I deserve, but I also know the mercy and grace of my Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. In love. In loving, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Remember what we read back there in number 9? What was His purpose? His purpose was in that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had before prepared unto glory. Vessels of mercy. Do we not see? Do we not see the glory in our Savior? In His mercifulness to us? Well, we had to know that we don't deserve it first. We had to know that it was grace. We had to know that we were chosen before the foundation of the world to be the recipients of His grace, sovereign grace. We stand holy and blameless before a thrice holy God. We stand on His righteousness and His alone. All glory belongs to Him. Salvation is of the Lord. And it was all purposed in Himself. Look at verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded to us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Yes. If it was purposed in Himself, can anything turn the hand of God? Look at the bulletin. Look at the verse on the front of today's bulletin, would you? Isaiah 14:26-27, it says, He is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. He's the Creator. Of course it's His purpose. If He's all powerful, and He is, then everything is purposed by Him, is it not? The sooner we all get that in our minds, the sooner we all can understand that we can trust more on Him. Even in the days when the clouds are dark around us, when the storms are overwhelming us, when the hardships of this world are encircling over us, we can trust in our Lord because it was His purpose. And all things are for the good to them that love Him, to them that are called. He is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? If you're trusting in a God this morning that is waiting for you to make a decision, or to get baptized, or to walk the aisle, or anything else that your imagination might come up with to earn your way into heaven, then you are walking the wide path of destruction. There is only one narrow path. There is only one way into heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. My prayer today is that He might reveal these truths to your heart this day. For only God can speak to the hearts of men. And I do pray this for you, pray this so for you this day. Paul, a preacher of this very same gospel, had the same prayer. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I had heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love of all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. You notice it didn't say anything about you getting smarter. You notice it didn't say anything about you stop doing stupid things in your life. That's what most of the churches are doing today. It's all about you turning your life around. If you'll just start doing this, say a prayer and you'll be saved, and then you can start doing the smart thing by going to church every week. Stop doing those foolish things of drinking and all whatever you might think of it. You put any vice you want in there. Turn your life around. That's what you'll hear from the churches. No, this says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, illuminated, opened up. Once I was blind, but now I see. Why? Why? Because of Him. Because of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of whose power? His mighty power. Not according to anything that you have done. Not according to anything that I have done. But according to His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Look back at Romans 9 again, if you would, please. Beginning at verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering? Isn't that what God's doing right now? This is the long suffering. And we don't know how much longer it's going to go. For some of us, it may be the end of today. There is a day coming when the Lord Jesus is going to return. And that's when his long suffering will be over. And the glory of God will shine forever in eternity in heaven. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afford prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Out of every nation, every tongue, God has a remnant, a portion chosen before the world was, to be saved from their sins. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Our sin debt is gone. We are justified in Christ. And if we are in him, can anything separate us from the love that is in him? That's why we sing, he is Lord of all. For all things are according to his will and his purpose. And that makes all things for the good to them that love Christ and to them that are called. Does that not bless you? Yes. That blesses me greatly, because it's according to his purpose. I remember what my purpose was, and it was a purpose of destruction. I was on the path of destroying John. And the Lord said, that's not the one path I want you on. I want you over here. And he brought me by his purpose to hear his gospel preached. We are saved according to his purpose, and his purpose alone. I'd like to ask you to stand with me, if you would, please.